Well, good morning, and welcome to Duncan Road Church. It seems hardly a year when we were gathered like this, and we do welcome you. And we're here to remember Ron. This is a Thanksgiving service for the life of Ron. We've already said farewell to his earthly body. He's been laid to rest with Joyce, but his soul and his spirit are with the Lord. He's in heaven, reunited with Joyce. And as Christians, we take encouragement from the words that are often spoken on an occasion such as this. It's the words that Jesus said to Martha. And he said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." What an encouragement. We are here this morning to give thanks to God for the life of Ron. And for me, that task becomes a greater joy, knowing that Ron had a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he could truly say with one of the hymns that we're going to sing this morning, "In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify." If you get an opportunity to look at Ron's Bible, there are several jottings about Calvary and the cross. And for him, it was personal. Let's bow our hearts and our heads and let's pray as we commit the service to the Lord. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Our Father, we would ask for your presence and comfort this morning. We would ask that you surround Colin and Jane, the grandchildren, Tim and Vicky, and family members who are mourning the passing of Ron. We would ask that when grief seems never ending, take them one step at a time along your road of death and resurrection. Remind us that it is through your death that we can find forgiveness and eternal life. We find reconciliation and peace everlasting. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that as we remember and give thanks for the life of Ron, may something of the Lord Jesus be seen and may his name be glorified amongst us. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'd like to take your order of services, all these hymns that are here for a purpose. The first hymn, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine," was a favourite of Ron's, but it also was a reminder to him of the days of Billy Graham and the crusades which he attended. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood." Let's stand to sing the first hymn on our sheet. please be seated. And no doubt memories came through your mind as you were singing that song. Even for me, sometimes the words that we sing bring a little lump in our throat, but don't worry about that. That's all part of the process of being here this morning. Now Vicky is going to come and read to us. Vicky is Ron's granddaughter, and she's going to read from John chapter 14, the first six verses, a very well known portion of scripture which is often read on occasions such as this, but it brings great comfort. Thank you, Vicky.
Reading from the King James Version. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but me.
Thank you, Vicky. And I guess none of us will forget the last verse, because there it is in bold letters. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Thank you, Vicky. We're going to sing that hymn now, The Old Rugged Cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. The second hymn on our sheet. Thank you.
wrong. Thank you.
Well, having stood here on the 16th of July last year to give thanks for the life of my mum, I certainly didn't expect to be back here so soon. I would like to thank you all for coming today to give thanks for the life of my father, and I'm sure you all have your own happy memories of my dad. I know I certainly do, and as an appreciation of his life, I would like to share with you some of those key moments. Dad was born Ronald Edmund Hazeldine on the 20th of May 1923 in Portsmouth to Charles and Maud Hazeldine. He had three sisters, Phyllis, Gladys and Betty. And they led him a merry dance, really, from what he has always recollected back to me. But he loved them dearly and he was loved by all. He went to school in Portsmouth, and I found the school report in 1937 when he was at Copner Road Senior Boys Department. It reads, Ronald Hazeldine has regularly and punctually attended his school for the past 3 years and at present working in the highest form. He is an intelligent and painstaking lad who has given very satisfaction by his work and conduct. He is gentlemanly in manner, willing and obliging, and thoroughly honest and trustworthy. All good character-building traits which have stood him well. Thank you.
think you can switch that one off now, Iris. Thank you, Derek, and thank you, Colin, for giving us such a broad outline of Ron's life. If only we had known about the violin, we could have had a worship group here, couldn't we? We had the flute, and we've got the organ and the piano. What a difference a violin would have made. I do sympathise with them about the fried breakfasts. I hope I haven't got to wait until my wife goes before I can have more fried breakfasts, but she is very good. No, it's good to remember some of those incidences, and my advice to you is cherish those memories. I remember when my dad went, and he used to come out with me on the odd day when I was landscaping, and I would be laying the turf, and he would come along with the spade and do all the little fiddly bits, which I, you know, didn't want to do. I did all the heavy stuff. And I remember shortly after he passed away, I was up at Romsey, and I was laying the turf, and I came to the bit when I had to do the fiddly bits, and I just broke down, and I sort of said, "Dad, you should be here doing the fiddly bits." And, you know, I just sort of broke down. But those times are good, and they help us to mourn and help us to cherish our loved ones. Thank you, Colin. Let me read to you. I always find it difficult when coming to give a message. I always want to pick out something in the life of an individual, and I think it will become quite clear why I've gone to the passage that I've gone to. And it's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forevermore. Therefore, encourage or comfort each other with these words." I'm sure God will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. We have heard from Colin in quite some depth how Ron loved to sing, whether it was with the Cowpan Choir or the Portsmouth Chorus, or with the Gospel Malvoice Praise Gospel Choir, or with the Portsmouth Choir or the Southampton Choir. Ron loved singing and enjoyed witnessing in song for his Lord. And while he was in hospital, we spent an enjoyable and precious afternoon talking about memories we both had of the Gospel Portsmouth and Southampton choirs. My dad was one of the founder members of the Gospel Choir, and so he knew Ron very well. And so we were able to talk about festivals and various things. And during our conversation, Ron gave me his opinion on the various skills of the conductors he had sung under. We were expecting Hazel Snook to be with us today. She was the conductor of the Cowplain Choir, Fortunately, Ron didn't say anything about Hazel, so she would have been quite safe. But in particular, when we were talking, and Jane was there, and I thought, she probably don't know anything what we're talking about, but she just listened. We reminisced about singing with the gospel choir, particularly those times when they sung in the prisons and on the Isle of Wight. And he was recounting those occasions, and he was recounting the powerful preaching of Harry Hanks. And as he remembered, he broke down with emotion, and for a few moments he couldn't speak. He was obviously remembering something, either in the prison or through the speaking from Harry Hanks. And I think both Jane and I would have loved to have known what he had been thinking about. Ron recalled the many times he had sung, I guess you'd call it the national anthem of the Male Voice Praise movement. We'll be there. Praise the Lord. We'll all be there. And thinking about today, my mind went to the verses that we have read. And they finish with that great gathering of the saints in the air and the promise that we will be with the Lord forevermore. And the passage finishes with those words that I read just now. Therefore, encourage or comfort each other with these words. And that's simply what I want to do in just these few moments. The verses that we read, they speak about reassurance for the believer. They speak about the return of Christ for the believer. And they speak of reunion of believers. Reassurance of the believer. You know, the Christians in Thessalonica believed that Christ would return any moment. But in the process of time, believers were dying and Christians were becoming concerned about their loved ones who had died. And so in this passage, Paul seeks to reassure them. He tells them not to grieve like those who have no hope. He says to them, you have a sure and certain hope. Jesus has conquered death. He's alive. He has the power over death. The believer will rise again. And surely that's a comfort to Colin and the family and to the rest of us. The sure hope that the Christian will rise again. Let me read a note to the best of my ability. It's written in the hand of Ron. I found it in his Bible. And it says this: how good is the God we adore, that God should so love the world to spare his only son Jesus and send him into this world of sin to suffer and die on the cross for disobedient and rebellious sinners like ourselves, who were with no hope, but now through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have, according to Scripture, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven. And now, as a true male voice singer, he bursts into song. Our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And then he writes at the bottom, O wonder of wonders, can it be all for me, all for me? We have a great hope. We have a reassurance that we're not on our own. Death is not the end. It is but the beginning. No wonder Ron loved to sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Not only do the verses talk about reassurance for the believer, they talk about the return of Christ for the believer. And this should comfort every believer. Verse 16 tells us, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God." You know, at the birth of our Lord Jesus, not many were aware of what was happening. But when the Lord comes again, when he steps into the air, everybody will know. We cannot imagine what that day will be like when our Lord makes that personal appearance in the sky and our redemption becomes complete. We read these verses at the open grave earlier this morning, and I'd like to read them again. "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the imperishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortality with the immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory." The hymn writers have tried to capture that coming event. "But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul." And a more modern song says this: "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I shall look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be." And the song that that Ron loved to sing in the choir, and I almost want to burst out in song myself: "I shall know him, I shall know him, when redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand." And finally, there is going to be the reunion of believers. Verse 17 says that this: "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." We take great comfort in the fact that Ron and Joyce are together in paradise. They're with their Lord, whom they love. Their headstone reads, "In heavenly love abiding." But there is coming a day when their perishable bodies will be changed, and there will be that great reunion in the sky with those who are still living, those who love and long for the Lord's appearing. We buried our dog on Monday. I know you saw on Sunday, didn't you? And we have precious memories of him, but we won't see him again. The death of the believer is different. And I honestly believe there is enough evidence in Scripture to say that we will recognize our family loved ones who together with us have put their faith in Jesus. We must finish with the Malvoice Choir. And I wonder whether we can all say with a certainty, "We'll be there, we'll be there. On the dawn of that great day, when the saints gather home, we'll be there. Praise the Lord, we'll all be there." And all the people said, Amen and Amen. Let's turn to our order of service. Another song that became very popular through Billy Graham and George Beverly Shea. How great thou art, and it's that last verse. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then shall I bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Let's stand to sing, shall we? Please be seated. Please be seated. Almost imagine Len Weston saying, come on, lads, sing it again. Thank you for coming today. Your presence has been appreciated by the family and ourselves here at Duncan Road. Now, please stay for refreshments. There's plenty of food there, so it's lunchtime, so don't rush away. Join us for lunch. There's a book at the front here, a book of condolences. You might want to write something, but at least write your name. So there's a record for Colin and Jane later on. There's also a box at the back. That's for donations in lieu of flowers. And that's to Ron's memory. And any money that goes in there will go to the Rowans Hospice. Let's close with a benediction, shall we? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Nay, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the comfort of the Holy Spirit be our experience now and until we see our Saviour face to face.